In ant societies, workers give up the ability to reproduce in order to care for the queen's offspring. A new study suggests that when the workers cheat and try to have their own kids, their fellow workers attack them in order to stop them from reproducing. With me now is Dr. Jürgen Liebig of Arizona State University, author of the study, which was published recently in Current Biology. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, in ant societies, why don't worker ants reproduce? Doesn't that cut down on genetic diversity?
Well, this is a principal problem going back to Darwin. He was already puzzled about this problem because you have the workers in the colony not reproducing, and in terms of evolutionary theory, it's difficult to understand how this trait can actually be maintained, having workers in the colony who are not reproducing. But because they are in a colony and basically closely related to the queen, they become more efficient because they cooperate in raising the brood of the queen, and therefore they can actually produce more genetic benefit to them as if they would be alone.
Can you give us a quick review of the structure of an ant colony? And are they all the same, all different ant species?
Well, there's a quite variety among ant species, but the classical ant species would be you have a reproductive queen that is specialized on reproduction, and then you have many, many workers, all of them are female, that actually help to raise the brood of the queen. But these females, even though they are reproductively, the workers, even though they are reproductively degenerated, most of them maintain the ability to reproduce, and sometimes they do, and this produces this reproductive conflict in the colony.
What happens when the queen dies? Is an heir already in place?
Well, this varies among species. There are some more primitive species where actually workers can replace a queen and become basically a functionally new queen. But in the more derived species, the species that we were studying, the workers, when the queen dies, the workers start producing males because they can do this without mating.
Mm-hmm. They can do that without mating?
Yes, because
these are females and they're producing males without mating?
Yeah, this is the sex determination system of ants, bees, and wasps. They can produce offspring without mating, and this offspring will develop into males, whereas when they fertilize an egg, then the offspring will develop into females.
But your study also indicated that there are instances in which the workers choose to reproduce. Can you tell us why they would even try, and what happens when they do try?
Well, actually, this is the exciting problem here. We don't know exactly why they are actually trying, because they get policed. But obviously, some of them are successful, and therefore this trait is maintained. But it's not in the interest of the other workers that you have workers trying to reproduce because they are less related to their offspring in some species, or they reduce colony efficiency, and therefore they prevent these workers from reproducing.
What happens to the offspring of these illicit relationships?
Well, first of all, the individual that gets that tries to reproduce gets punished by they detect this individual and then they attack this individual. But they can also recognize that the eggs that are laid by these individuals are different. Mm-hmm. And therefore, what happens usually is that these eggs get eaten and only the eggs of the queen survive. And therefore, this is another way to actually punish these individuals.
And how do they punish them? Do they ever kill them, these cheater ants?
Killing would not be in their interest because, they are still workforce. They only want to get them basically back in line so that they don't reproduce but continue help-raising offspring. They're just not interested in having them reproducing, but, of course, they're still interested to have them as reproductive workforce, as workforce in the colony, and therefore it would not be good to kill them.
Can't they even detect when an ant is about to try to cheat and reproduce because of certain chemical signals that are sent out?
Yeah, this is actually the center of the study. What happens if they want to try to reproduce, they have to activate their ovaries. So their whole physiology changes, and this physiological changes lead to a change in their chemical signature that's on the surface of their body. And this is what the other ants detect. They can recognize when an ant activates the ovaries, and this is also how they can actually distinguish the queen from other workers, not only morphologically, but also because they're chemically different, have a strong fertility signal indicating that it's useful to help them and raise their offspring.
They're producing a form of hydrocarbon.
Yeah, a hydrocarbon, it's a certain chemical, non-volatile, so they are not detecting this in the air. They basically have to touch the individual to recognize this chemical.
Do those hydrocarbons serve any other purpose?
Well, the primary function of these hydrocarbons, or is they are part of the lipid layer on the cuticle, and the primary function is that they protect generally in insects, they protect them from desiccation. But since this is a very complex mixture of different compounds, it can also encode a lot of information. For example, it's used in solitary insects to attract mates. They are used for species identification. In social insects, they're also used for example, recognizing nest mates from a foreign individual. All nest mates basically share a very similar profile, and foreign workers have a different profile. And this is how they can actually identify a foreign worker who may try to get into the colony.
I'm talking with Dr. Jürgen Liebig of Arizona State University, author of a study on cheater ants, which was published recently in Current Biology magazine. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. How did you conduct your research? Can you describe your experiments?
Well, I have to say that I'm not the only author. My graduate student, Adrian Smith, and also Bart Hurldobler were involved. And what we did is we first looked at these chemicals, and we knew from other studies that there's a difference between fertile and non-fertile individuals. So what we first checked is, well, this is also the case in this species. And we also knew from previous studies from Bert Holdobler that actually we see this strong aggression in this colony. So they were a good candidate to look at these chemicals. So after we looked at these chemicals, we saw that there's a strong difference in a certain compound. And the advantage here was that this compound can be bought from a company. And therefore, it was relatively easy to do an experiment by actually applying a little bit of this compound on a normal worker. So basically making this worker a cheater, a reproductive cheater. And what we then observed is that this worker was attacked. And this was some indication that it works. But when we actually applied another compound that is also on the surface of this worker but is not indicating a fertility status, when we applied this compound, there was no aggression. So this was clear indication that this compound actually signals the other workers that, this individual is becoming reproductive and that it should be policed or attacked.
So you could just buy the hydrocarbon that indicates that an ant wants to reproduce from a chemical company? They weren't making it for that reason.
No. It's because this is a very simple compound, so they are commercially available, and this was the advantage here, because normally there are more complex structures, and so they are not available. You would need to have a chemist that actually synthesizes this compound for you, so we were lucky having this situation here.
And the ants can't tell the difference between the synthetic hydrocarbon and the one that they naturally produce.
No, there's no difference.
Wait, but you are framing these ants. Weren't you being unfair to these marked ants?
Well, I mean, in a way, yes, but they did it to serve science.
Isn't there an organization called PETA, for fair treatment of ants?
Well, I didn't receive any complaints so far, but I will carefully listen to them and see whether I receive any complaints.
Now, what's the significance of this study? Is it a stretch to apply any of these lessons to humans?
Well, I mean, we generally want to understand how cooperation works, especially at high levels of cooperation. And we found that these policing or tax or punishment seems to be a very important feature of efficient societies. And this is what we also see in humans, that, for example, those that do not cooperate, that they get punished or are excluded from the society. And there are a lot of studies currently going on that investigate human cooperation. And here we see also that punishment seems to be very important to maintain high levels of cooperation.
Although we can't detect any change in odor when somebody is deciding to cheat.
Well, not really, but there are some studies that actually show that humans are pretty good in guessing whether, for example, a partner is cheating. There are some studies that that humans are very good in this, but of course we have different senses to find this out, and obviously our chemical sense is very underdeveloped compared to insects or other animals.
Well, are our pheromones similar to these hydrocarbons in ants?
No, you mean our pheromones?
Yes.
No, they are completely different. And we have there's still discussion going on whether humans have pheromones at all, but there seem to be some pheromone, but yeah, and they are totally different, because these cuticular hydrocarbons, as I said, they are non-volatile. These are contact pheromones. You need to have these certain chemical sensors on the antenna of this insect to detect them.
Haven't you done work on the relationship between ants and humans in regard to aging?
Well, we're actually starting. Yeah, you're right. We just recently started a project to see whether we can exploit basically the ant societies to understand aging. And the big difference we see in these ant societies is that reproductive individuals live way longer than the non-reproductive individuals or the helpers. In vertebrates and also in humans, when somebody is highly fertile, highly reproductive, then usually this has an impact on lifespan, because reproduction is expensive. And as I said, in ant societies, we see the reverse. The queens are sometimes 10 times longer than the workers, which are not reproductive. And therefore, ants or bees are a very good model system to actually study aging, the basis of aging.
A listener wants to know, if an ant gets cut off from the colony, can it survive or is it doomed?
Well, usually when a worker gets no longer can back to the colony, it will certainly survive for some time. But of course, in the normal environment, in the protection of the nest, it usually doesn't survive as long as in the colony.
And it can't join a different colony?
Well, usually this doesn't work. As I said, ants are very good in recognizing who is a foreign ant, who is a nest mate, and usually they attack foreign ants, because it could be potentially a parasite who wants to get resources, or is a competitor in territory conflict. So it's unusual that an other ant is actually adopted to a colony.
Dr. Jürgen Liebig is at Arizona State University. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me.